Okay, so today, I don't know if you guys saw on the schedule, we are set up to be a final project workshop day. Okay, so what's going to mean, we're going to spend a few minutes reviewing a couple things, and then this is time for you to work with your team, ask us questions, get feedback from us, largely on like the design tools, those kind of things. Some of the later final project workshops, we'll have the lab open. We won't do that today. So today, workshop, you got a report due Friday if you have questions about that. Our list reports are on the way out as we speak right now. They're still being sent, probably. So if you have your computer with you, you can crack that open and see comments. You should have three separate reports to look at because none of you are on the same teams as your R-List project. You have some of those same tools that are due on Friday. So you might want to take a look at that and ask us questions. If you have grading specific questions, save those, look for later. Come see me in my office about that. But questions about the tools themselves or what needs to be in the final project, that's kind of appropriate for today. There's that. We still are on schedule to have the preliminary contest a week from today. So lab will be open again starting tomorrow for you to come test your devices. So along those lines, the first thing I wanted to review before we get into some other, a few other small things is how that track connection is going to work. This device, a week from today, has to be electronically triggered and use your kit components on each side of the track. You may have seen when you've been in there the past times, if you've been in open hours or even for just an individual contest, each side has two 120-volt AC outlets on it, and then these kind of banana plug connectors, and then an LED light. So these two guys are going to be on all the time. We will have effectively a phone charger there for you to plug your Pi board into and power it. The power supply to your kit can plug in there as well to power whatever motors you need and things like that. Okay. The connections for the motors, those things are in the lecture notes from last time. We talked through those last time. Okay. You have your banana plug connectors connect here. Right. So you just plug into your track. Before you box on Thursday, everything has to be plugged in. Okay, so it's not box and then plug everything in and get ready. The last thing you do before you get ready to run your machine is box it. Okay, you can move it as a rigid body, meaning you can't move components relative to one another inside your device. Okay, if you forget to reset your microcontroller or whatever, you forget to plug in some kind of wire, you're going to have to rebox it. Okay, because that's now changed. It's not a rigid body any longer. You changed this internal configuration. So again, just to review, power will be on all the time. Plug into these electrical connections. We have a button we're going to press. When we press that button, it closes four relays that close, basically connect. All it physically does, really, is connect the red and black internally. Right? What that looks like for your Pi board is just like a push button. Okay? So when we press the button, the track will start spinning. It's going to keep spinning for 30 seconds and shut off. And basically what we're going to do is effectively hold a push button down for 30 seconds. Okay, we're just really, these connections to your track, we just effectively close them, just like a push button. And it's held together for 30 seconds. Okay, that signal is what you're going to need to sense to know when your machine can start. You guys got the high level so far? Okay. Highly recommend you come test on the actual track. You can test with the push button. You don't even have to take the button out of place to wire it for the track. When you're testing with the push button, test at least once on the track. Okay. And as I recommended on Tuesday, I think you should practice at least once with your team through the whole kind of contest reps, if you will. All right. So you don't lose points just because you don't have things in order, effectively. All right. Okay. So let's talk about a couple of different ways. So we just kind of talked about these points. A few ways to sense the start. This is one way. I think this is the most straightforward way, probably the most obvious with what you've learned so far. Okay. And in fact, you had an in-class example that was doing something like this, just waiting for that button to be pressed. So what's happening here is just we set up pin X4 as the input, and it's just looping and looping and looping, reading the value every 10 milliseconds. And if it's pressed, you do some stuff. So this would work for that start button. It's going to look for that button to press, and it's checking it every 10 milliseconds. And the first time it's pressed, it breaks into this loop and does whatever's here. The one minor little tricky point there is that it is held down for 30 seconds. Okay, it's not just pushed at the start, it's held down. So what that means is if what you have in here takes less than 30 seconds to run, right? It finishes, comes out here, sleeps for 10 milliseconds, goes back up, checks the button again. Right, so if it's been less than 30 seconds elapsed, that button's still going to be closed. Okay? Which, still going to be closed, it's going to read it, and it's going to start running whatever you have in here again. Okay, so you need to make whatever you have in here last at least 30 seconds if you're going to write the code this way. Okay. That clear? That's a really common mistake. It's forgetting that button's going to be closed for the whole 30 seconds. Yes, sir. You could delay down here, yeah. That's probably the most straightforward way to do it, yeah. But you need to make sure whatever's happening in here lasts longer than that 30 seconds. Just remember, if you do that, you also can't run your device more quicker than every 30 seconds, right? If you have a time sleep, because it'll just be sitting there sleeping for that time. So not usually a problem, but just keep that in mind. Things aren't working and only work sometimes. Well, it's sitting there doing nothing for 30 seconds. Questions about that? This example code, it's kind of straightforward, really obvious way to do it, been on GitHub since last semester. All right, so you can kind of template. You just plug in your code right here, basically. And like we've talked, this could be a series of function calls. Drive forward, extend bucket, retrieve balls, blah, 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 sleep 25 seconds because that's how much time you have left or whatever. Okay. I want to show you guys this. We may get back to it in a little bit, but a more professional way to do this would be to use what's called an interrupt. An interrupt essentially attaches a function to a certain condition. So run this function whenever this button is pressed. Okay. Or run this function every 2 seconds. Right. Called an interrupt. And it's called an interrupt because it stops whatever else is going on and goes and runs that function and does the operation. Okay. So the functions that you do for interrupts need really to be short and fast. Usually they just set like a flag value, like something true or false. Think of MicroPython and kind of very much related to the first one, it can't create anything new. So it can't create new variables or things like that. Okay. So there's an example we can look at just to give you an idea how it looks like at least. GitHub, you can see using an interrupt to sense the start. See, maybe easier to pull that up in Atom. Let's look over here. So I have a function here called handle start signal, and that's my function that's set up attached to that button interrupt. So really all that's happening, this guy changes just a little bit. You have external interrupt, and then you still attach it to the pin as usual. And then basically, I have a while loop that just sits there and while. So you don't need to explicitly tell it to read the button because you've attached the interrupt to it. So for example, this is how, if you have an e-stop that's not physically wired as an e-stop in your system, this is how you could read a emergency stop kind of button on a system. It's interrupt. Stop whatever else you're doing and do this thing when this condition holds true. So this code is there. If you're interested in doing it this way, just come see me during open lab hours and I'll help you out. I think the first part is probably way more obvious for what you've learned so far. But I wanted to at least show you guys kind of the right way to do it, for lack of a better word. Okay. So that code's there. There's a bunch of other code I also posted, a week ago. We had in class example 11. I just popped that on the GitHub. It'll be on the link from the class page a little bit later, too. So plenty of code there. Again, a lot of stuff here that you can copy and paste together. Feel free to use all this. Leverage what I'm giving you. Right. Okay. While we're here, the other thing I wanted to point out to you guys, remind you about, is that there's a pre-submission checklist. Seems like a good number of you may have looked at that for the Arliss reports. Seems like some of you might have not. Do check that. That's the first, basically the first things that I go through when we're grading this stuff and looking for. Okay, so go through that checklist. There's also a zip of a number of example reports from past semesters, kind of broken down into good, okay, and not so okay, to give you an idea of what that cross section looks like. So feel free to leverage those as well. Okay. Questions about what you have a week from today, what's due tomorrow? Yes.
For the report, do we need a prioritization matrix?
So the question was, do I need a prioritization matrix? I don't believe we're explicitly requiring that, but it could be helpful to explain, for example, why some of your customer requirements are more important than others. So, yeah, I guess that's the most straightforward answer. Yes, sir?
So the blueboard, can it support all the motors in the
job? So the question is, can the motor driver board you have support all the motors you currently have? No, you have more motors than you can drive right now, or know how to drive. That's why you have another board in your kit, which we'll talk about on Tuesday probably. Other question? I'm sorry.
So, if we could we have more than one actual MicroPython board?
No, the rules state you can only have one.
One?
Yep.
Okay, but any sensors from...
So you can use one Pi board, but you can use 3N of the sensors that came in that you guys bought, mm-hmm. or the servo that came in your kit. Okay. Yep. And then all the stuff we gave you. Yes.
I'm assuming we'll also need drawings for what's due tomorrow.
Drawings for what's due tomorrow. So yes, the question is, do you need drawings for what's due tomorrow? Yes, I think it's really hard to explain a design without figures supporting it. Nearly impossible to do that. Problem understanding. You need, let me answer that more generally. Yes, you will need some kind of figures. They are tables. Spec sheets, a table, house of quality, those kind of things. Sorry. Sorry. That's my fault. I should know better than that. Yes. It's that point category. It's that point category. So if you look at the very beginning of that PDF, it explains that task. That's kind of the name of that task. Yes, ma'am.
On our PowerPoint presentation, you want to have a link to your thing if you want to use figures and stuff, right?
If you are using the figures from the rule handout, you need to specify that you didn't make those in some way. Yes.
So we just do the link to the PDF.
You can do that from your presentation, yeah. So, as long as you're not implying that you drew that, basically, give credit to where it came from, it's fine. Other questions? Okay, so you guys have some time to break into your final project teams. We will bounce around, ask you questions, wave us down, ask us questions. Don't take off until we've chatted with your team at least once, please.